وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. We have the class, the lesson from the Book of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, chapter 374. Inshallah, Babun Al-Yukanna Al-Mushrik. قال الإمام البخاري, this is the Book of Adab Al-Mufrad, chapter 374, hadith number 846. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله, حدثنا عبد الله بن صالح قال حدثنا الليث قال حدثني عقيل عن ابن شهاب عن عروة بن الزبير, عن عروة بن الزبير أن أسامة بن زيد أخبره أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ مجلسا فيه عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول, وذلك قبل أن يسلم عبد الله بن أبي, فقال لا تؤذينا في مجلسنا. فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على سعد بن عبادة فقال أي سعد, ألا تسمع ما يقول أبو حباب يريد عبد الله بن أبي أبي عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول. This is the book of Adab al-Mufrad, chapter 374. قال الإمام البخاري, may an idol worshipper be called by a kunya, كان non-Muslim be called by a kunya, from Usama ibn Zayd رضي الله تعالى عنه, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم arrived at a gathering that included Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. This was before Abdullah ibn Ubay announced being a Muslim. He's the man who later known to be the leader of the hypocrites, the Munafiqeen. Before he announced to be a Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ arrived at a gathering that that man was in. Then he said to the Prophet ﷺ, do not disturb us in our gathering. The Prophet ﷺ went to Sa'd ibn Ubadah, one of the leaders of the Ansar, and said, Sa'd, did you not hear what Abu Hubab said? What Abu Hubab said? This is the point, this is the shahid. Prophet ﷺ, he called that man by the kunya Abu Hubab. What Abu Hubab said, he meant Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, using his kunya. And the Prophet ﷺ used the kunya of this munafiq, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, by saying Abu Hubab. So this is a proof that a non-Muslim idol worshipper be called by a kunya. Because that's the kunya he used to have. And that's in the narration that's before he announced that he is a Muslim. And I didn't need more research. Was that kunya still used to be called Naam? So in this narration, as Imam Bukhari make the title that a non-Muslim can be called by his kunya. Because this man, the Prophet ﷺ called him Abu Hubab before even he announced his Islam, before he said he is a Muslim, before he said he is Muslim, when he was known to be an idol worshipper. Prophet ﷺ said, name him Abu, call him Abu Hubab. Chapter 375, باب الكنية للصبي. قال إمام البخاري حدثنا موسى بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن ثابت عن أنس قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل علينا ولي أخ صغير يكنى أبا عمير وكان له نغر يلعب به فمات فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرآه حزينا فقال ما شأنه قيل له مات نغره فقال يا أبا عمير ما فعل النغير يا أبا عمير ما فعل النغير. This is chapter 375. A kunya for a child. A kunya for a child. Look how Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is wise in giving these books the chapters titles. He talk about giving kunya. He first talk about changing the names if it's not good, giving people good names, and then he talk about the kunya of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if that kunya can be given to anyone else, then he talk about in general how kunya. Then he talk about giving kunya to the idol worshippers, and now we talk about giving kunya to the child. قال رحمه الله from Anas Zayd. From Anas said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit us, and I had a young brother who used to use the kunya of Abu Umair. He had sparrow which he played with, and then it died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in and saw that he was sad, and the little child was sad. When he asked what's wrong with him, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told his sparrow has died, a little bird, it died. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Umair, what has happened to the little sparrow? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing the little boy, the little child, to make him happy. Abu Umair, what has happened to the little sparrow? Ma fa'ala nughayr. What he did, what happened to it? So the point is, Prophet Sallam called the child with the kunya of Abu Umair. Abu Umair. So little child can have a kunya. This is affirmation. This is sunnah. Prophet Sallam, he affirmed that. Rather, he called the boy, the child, with that kunya, Abu Umair. This is also in another angle a proof that someone who doesn't have children can have a kunya. Naam. Also how Messenger was, yani alayhi salam, was kind. The way he said, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala nughayr, is a way of yani making the child feel relief from the death of his sparrow. Tayyib. Also that the person can have these animals, but he should take care of it. Some people, they have cats, they have this, and they make it suffering. You shouldn't make it suffer. You don't have to have it, but if you choose to have it, then take care of it. Take care of it. Don't make it suffer without a reason. Don't make it يعني, suffer. Remember the woman who entered hellfire because of the cat? She tied, she locked until it died. It didn't feed, and it didn't leave it to go to wherever it can find provision of Allah. باب الكنية قبل أن يولد له. باب الكنية قبل أن يولد له. أي حكم كنية الشخص أو المرء قبل أن يولد له. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا أبو نعيم قال حدثنا سفيان عن مغيرة عن إبراهيم أن عبد الله يعني عبد الله بن مسعود كنى علقمة أبا شبل ولم يولد له يرحمك الله أبا شبل This chapter 375, a kunya 376, having a kunya before having a child. Having a kunya before having a child. Ibrahim bin Yahya, Ibrahim al-Nakhai said, Abdullah gave, Abdullah means Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Yani if you, the ulama, they say, if you hear in the narration, Abdullah said, Abdullah said, origin is to be Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That one, to be Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, gave Alqama, is one of his students, special students. Alqama will become later a big, big scholar from the Tabi'in. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gave Alqama the kunya of Abu Shibin before he, Alqama, had a child. Before Alqama had a child, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gave the kunya of Abu Shibil. Abu Shibil. So this is a proof that someone can have a kunya even before he has a child. Another narration from Ibrahim said, Alqama said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud gave me a kunya before I had a child. Chapter 377. باب كنية النساء. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا محمد بن سلام قال حدثنا أبو معاوية قال حدثنا هشام بن عروة عن يحيى بن عبادة بن حمزة عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت يا رسول الله كنيت نساءك فأكنني فقال تكني بابن أختك عبد الله. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت يا رسول الله كنيت نساءك فكنني فقال تكني بابن أختك عبد الله. Chapter 377. The kunya for women. The kunya for women. All those kunya was for men. How about for women? Can they have a kunya? Imam Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated in his sound chain from Aisha Ummul Mu'minin radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her. She said, I went to the Prophet and said, Messenger of Allah, you gave your wife his kunyas. So also give me a kunya. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, adopt the kunya of your nephew, Abdullah. Adopt means house, take, name yourself, the kunya of your nephew. That one is Abdullah. Who Abdullah is? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. This is a big family. Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah is the first child who the Muhajirun had in Medina. When the Muhajirun migrate to Medina, the first of them who had a child was Al-Zubayr bin Al-Awwam, and that child was Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Abdullah ibn Zubayr was very, very, he's very famous and very brave. From the story they mention, one day he was playing with the children at the time of Umar bin Khattab. And when they clearly saw Umar, who was the Muslim ruler, Muslim Khalifa, the kids, they run. Each one run, escape. Except he remained there. Then Umar said, ask him, why everyone left except you? He said, this, the way is open. If you take him, the way is open. Yes. The way is open for you, he said. And the Umar said, "Inna hada la yakunu lahu sha'an." This he would have a case. This one he would be means he will not be a normal person. يعني he will have يعني he will be famous with something. Because the rest of the children run. Just because they see the Muslim ruler, Khalifa who has Haiba, they run. The kids they do. This one he didn't go. He remained there. He said, "Why are you here? The rest they wait. This is the way it's open. He's taking it. You go." Radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah. So Prophet Hassan is the one who make tahniq for him. Prophet is the one who made tahniq. Yani when Abdullah born, Prophet put the dates. And he drew a date and he put the saliva, the blessed saliva of the Prophet on the tongue of Abdullah ibn Zubair. So that is the Abdullah. Who was the first one child for the Ansar? The Ansar, those who welcomed the Muhajirun. When the Muhajirun arrived, the first child they had was Nu'man bin Bashir. Nu'man bin Bashir. So Nu'man, Abdullah bin Zubair are from the Sighar al-Sahaba. From the Sighar al-Sahaba, the young companions. So his mother is who? Abdullah bin Zubair. His father, Zubair bin Awam, is from the Al-Mubashiruna bil-Jannah. From the 10 companions who are the highest in the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who one time Prophet ﷺ mentioned them collectively that they are the people of Jannah. So four Khulafa are famous, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, and other six. From those six, Al-Zubayr bin Al-Awwam. So Aisha, Prophet ﷺ, told her to have the kunya of her nephew Abdullah. Abdullah, his mother is Asma bint Abi Bakr. Asma bint Abi Bakr. So Asma and Aisha are sisters, but from the father's side, not from the mother's side. From the father's side. So they have the same father, but not the same mother, means Aisha and Asma. So Asma is the sister of Aisha. She had Abdullah, that child, Abdullah. So Abdushid, Prophet ﷺ told her to have his name as a kunya. He said, "Adab the kunya of your nephew, Abdullah." Also, his mother is famous also from the early Muhajirun. From hadith number 851, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, "The Prophet ﷺ, when you give me a kunya, once you give me a kunya," he said, "use the kunya of your son, Abdullah ibn Abi, Abdullah ibn Al-Zubayr, the son of Aisha's older sister, Asma." She was given the kunya of Abdullah. So, al-Mu'minin Aisha used to have the kunya of Abdullah. And Abdullah, Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha. So, who is that Abdullah? Is the son of her sister, Abdullah ibn Zubayr ibn Awam. So you can have the kunya of, yani, your nephew, you can have the kunya of this. So sometimes the kunya is somebody's child, your child. Sometimes the kunya is for someone who doesn't have any child. Sometimes the kunya is the name of one of your relatives. It doesn't matter. As long as the kunya is good, kunya. Babu, قال ما بخار رحمه الله تعالى بابو من كان ما بابو من كان رجلا بشيء هو فيه أو بأحدهم. باب من كنى رجلا بشيء هو فيه أو بأحدهم. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله: حدثنا خالد بن مخلد قال حدثنا سليمان بن بلال قال حدثني أبو حازم عن سهل بن سعد الساعدي رضي الله عنه: إن كانت أحب أسماء علي رضي الله عنه إليه لأبو تراب، وإن كان لا يفرح أن يدعى بها، وما سماه أبو تراب إلا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. غاضب يوم فاطمة فخرج فاضطجع إلى الجدار إلى المسجد، وجاءه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبعه، فقال: هو ذا مضطجع في الجدار، يعني فقيل له عليه السلام: هو ذا، يعني علي، مضطجع في الجدار. فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد امتلأ ظهره، أي ظهر علي، ترابا، فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح التراب عن ظهره ويقول: اجلس أبا تراب، اجلس أبا تراب. This is chapter 379. How one should walk? No. Chapter 378. One who gives a man a kunya by something or someone related to him. The ruling of the one who gives a man a kunya by something or someone related to him. We already heard the someone related to him. يعني Abdullah ibn Zubair was related to who? To Aisha. But now is someone given a kunya by something, not even a people. Sahal ibn Sa'al al-Sa'idi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the name that Ali, means Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, like the best was Abu Turab, father of dust. The father of dust. Ali liked this kunya. You the father of the dust. Very much. How? Because of who named him and how it came. And he was happy when called that. He was happy when called that. So Ali liked to be called not to Ali, but to Abu Turab. And this is general. The Arabs, they say the kunya out of respect. They say the kunya to them is honor. Even up today, to call the person his name and to call his kunya, he loves so much his kunya. That's why the Imam, he brought the calling the kafir his kunya. Abu Hubab, Abdullah ibn, so before he even announced his Islam, before he said he is a Muslim, Prophet ﷺ called him. Even though that man, he disrespected the Prophet ﷺ. But yet still Prophet ﷺ, he gave the kunya. Why Imam Bukhari brought is because the origin is not for them, or kunya is not for, but yet Prophet ﷺ, he named him, he called him his kunya. Al-Muhim. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to be happy when called that kunya. Only the Prophet ﷺ gave him that name. One day he was cross with Fatima, means he did, there was a little argument, yani, between Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his wife Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Ali did mad. What he did, he went out and lay against the wall of the masjid. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala get mad, he didn't argue, he didn't fight back, he didn't complain, he left because he was in a state of anger. He left the house of Fatima and he went to the masjid and he lay down. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to look for him. Prophet ﷺ, he came to the house of his daughter and he said, where Ali is? He didn't find Ali bin Abi Talib. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala told him, with the mercy of Allah, there was this between me and him, and he went out. Prophet ﷺ looked for him and he asked people. So someone told him, with the mercy of Allah, he's there. He was told Sahasan that he was leaning against the wall, that Ali was leaning against the wall, laying down, leaning against the wall. He facing where? Where is he facing? Is he facing the wall or the opposite of the wall? He was leaning against the wall. How is that? His back is to the wall. Barakallahu fiqh. The Prophet ﷺ went up to him and his bag was covered with dust. Means the bag of Ali was covered with the dust because the masjid was dust. It's not a carpet. Therefore, you find the Prophet ﷺ, he sometimes used to pray with his shoes in the masjid and sometimes without shoes. Prophet ﷺ, this is his sunnah. Some people, when they hear praying with their shoes, yani they reject that because they don't know the sunnah of the messenger ﷺ in that. Prophet ﷺ, he did pray with the shoes and he prayed without shoes. And that famous hadith, one time Prophet ﷺ was leading the Dhuhr prayer, and in the middle of the prayer, after he prayed two rak'ah, he took his shoes off. And the Sahaba, those who saw the Messenger taking his shoes off, they took their shoes off in the Salah. And those others, they have seen those before them take the shoes off, they took the shoes off. Everyone took his shoes off. When Salah finished, Prophet ﷺ asked them, why you took your shoes off? لِمَاذَا خَلَعْتُمْ نِعَالَكُمْ. They said, رَأَيْنَاكَ خَلَعْتَنَا عَلَيْكَ فَخَلَعْنَا نِعَالَنَا. We saw you, Adam of Allah. You took off your shoes, we took off our shoes. رضوان الله تعالى عليهم. This is the Sahaba. Even Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say do that. He just said action. And there was a reason for that, which doesn't concern them. But simply because they see them and doing it, they do it. Because they know Prophet ﷺ only does that which is haq. So Prophet ﷺ, he told them, the reason was that Angel Jibril told him that with his shoes there is impurity. People walk with the shoes on the street, anything may be. So Prophet ﷺ, he stepped on something and Angel Jibril told him that the shoes are impurity. It's not clean. And the Prophet, he took it off. This is the ruling of someone who is wearing an unclean cloth, unclean stuff, while he is in a state of prayer. Therefore, the ulama, they see the necessity of the cloth and the body and the place of the one who going to pray to be clean. Allah said, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِرْ, and clean your clothes. Even though they differ, is it a condition where the salah is invalid? Or is it a mandatory? Where the salah is valid, but the person is sinful. If he majority of them say, majority of scholars say is a condition for the prayer to be valid, the clothes and the body and the place of the musalli to be clean. Al-Muhim, so Prophet ﷺ mentioned the reason why. There are a lot of lessons in this hadith. One of it is that the Messenger ﷺ doesn't know the unseen. Some Ahlul Bid'ah, Ahlul Ahwa, يعني claim that they are mashayikh and they are saints and this, they know the unseen. one of them, Sufia here in this area, he said, the awliya, the saints, they know the unseen. Everything. How? He said, because one day Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was giving Friday lecture, and he said, Wara al Jabal ya Sariya, oh Sariya, behind the mountain. And when Umar was asked, he mentioned the reason. Oh, Umar, you said in Friday lecture today, Sariya, where is Sariya? What was that? He said that he was talking to Sariya, one of the Muslim commander who was fighting the enemy. And the enemy were going to defeat them, defeat the Muslims through to the behind the mountain. So Umar, he talked to the commander to be careful behind the mountain. Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, and others authenticated this narration. Al-Albani said, Hassan, said sound. So this man, Sufi man, he said, since Umar, of course, the people, so when they came, they were asked. All those who were there mentioned that they heard the voice of Umar saying, be careful. So this Sufi, he says, this is a proof that Umar came to know the unseen. Therefore, the awliya, the good people, they know the unseen. Look, how that, this is how they yulabbisuna al-haqqa bil-batil. They mix truth with falsehood. This is a proof. This is an example how people of desires, they mix truthful with falsehood. Okay. Umar mentioned that incident. Does that mean, number one, that Umar knows everything? Or we only say, yes, if this is sound, then this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Umar know. Through whatever Allah wants, angel, truth. This incident, Umar came to know. You don't go to extreme. You say, Umar know the unseen, everything. Just say he came to know that thing. Don't deny if that is sound. And don't go extreme to say he know everything. Number two, don't go far and say the saints, not even Umar. Because Umar was shown that incident, the good people, wherever they are, they know everything. La ilaha illallah. Umar didn't know the unseen. So this is very specific case. Therefore, even the day of Uhud, Muslims were defeated in a way by their enemy. When it comes to killing 70 of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, bigger than that, wounding severely Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. A lot of big tragedy took place day of Uhud. Because of what? Because of the idol worshippers coming behind the mountain. Prophet ﷺ, he led 50 companions to defend the Muslims from that small mountain, which is on the side of Medina. Since the Muslims, they facing the side of the outside of the city, where the enemy are. But the idol worshippers, they figure out, they try two times to the horses, those who were leading the horses, to come from that mountain, so they can come, the Muslims from behind. They couldn't. Two times they were defeated. Then, third time they could. How? Because those Muslims, other Muslims defeated the kuffar on the battlefield, and the kuffar ran. When those on the mountain saw that the kuffar were defeated and they ran in and Muslims are chasing them, they say, why are we here? Prophet, he let us be here to defend. Who are we defending now? Muslims get victory. The leader told them, don't do that. Prophet, he gave us very clear command. He said, even if you see me, birds eating me, it's after I die, don't come. He meant, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said. But, subhanAllah, sometimes, understanding by mistake. The ruler, the leader of them, he said no. Prophet ﷺ said no. But the rest, 40 of them, it didn't seem that to them. Opinion, look. Opinion against the command. And this opinion is not out of negligence. It's out of trying to understand it. No negligence. No negligence here. It's Prophet ﷺ, he told us to be here so we can defend the Muslims. Who are we defending? The kuffar, they already run. So they go. 40 of them. The idol worshippers, especially those who lead in the horses, who were known to know the tactics of fighting. And subhanAllah, that day, who was leading was Khalid bin Walid. He was not a Muslim the day of Uhud. Khalid bin Walid, he was from the Mushrikun. Who was leading the horses? He was the leader. And second one was Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, who later became also Sahabi Ikrimah. Those two were leading. So, and Khalid radiallahu ta'ala was known for knowing how to fight. Even in Islam, and they say before Islam, he was never defeated in battlefield. They say Khalid bin Walid. And by the way, up to today, this is something the people they mention. There are some individuals, there are some commanders, they say they are not defeated in any war. People they mention. So Khalid was known to that. And how about the day of Badr? Was Khalid Muslim? The day of Badr? Or he was a Muslim? The day of Badr, he was not a Muslim. How you know? Because Uhud is after, Badr was the second year, and Uhud was what? Yes? Badr of Uhud? No, it should be the third year. Third year. Ahzab was the fifth year. And Hudaybiyah was the sixth year. Al-Muhim. So, the Badr of Badr, Khalid was not from the participants. He was not there. He was not in Badr, Khalid, somehow. But if he would have been there, he would have been defeated. Na'am. No question. So, Khalid bin Walid, when he became Muslim, the same way and more, he used to assist the idol worshiper, he used to assist the Tawheed. And he became so famous. Beginning, he was not a commander, he was with the Muslims. The Ghazwatul Mu'tah, the Prophet ﷺ, he sent some of his Sahaba with a very, very strong arm. And then he said, if this one dies, this should be the Muslim ruler, the Muslim commander. If this one dies, this one. If this one dies, this. He said, named three companions. Then he left after that. He didn't mention fourth. This was very strong bar. Then the Sahaba, they fight. And then the first Muslim commander was killed. The second was killed. The third was killed. It was not easy. Strong battle. And back days, if the commander is killed, it really backfire to the rest of the army. Because they used to have a flag showing the commander of the arm. If he is on the front, that means the arm are strong. If he is back, he is somewhere. So he being loose, being killed. Another one, take the flag, being killed. Third one, take the flag, being killed. No one is there. Was not easy. Khalid, he took it. The Muslims, they say Khalid took it. Those who were there, choose Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That's the first time. Then Khalid took it, and what he did, he saw the arm, the kuffar are so much. The Sahaba, the Muslims are very few. What he said, he acted like he's running. He acted like he's attacking the kuffar. He said, Muslims, what do? We attack one time. One time, all of what we have. And then after that, we run. That's what happened. They attacked the kuffar. They defeated. Yani kuffar, they felt very strength. They were not expecting. One time, you know, when we hold one thing, one time, a rope. If you pull your time, my time, we are not doing anything. If we say one time, then the kuffar, they felt strength. And while they were in that state, already Muslims ran. They flee. Prophet ﷺ was informed, Allah Azza wa Jal informed Muslims of that incident. Then Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned what happened to those, they didn't come yet, the Muslims. He mentioned, this one took the flag, he was killed. This one took the flag, he was killed. This one took the flag, he was killed. When Prophet ﷺ was saying that, he was shedding tears. Then he said, Saifullah, the sword of Allah, Khalid bin Walid, took the sword. And Allah gave the Muslims the victory. فتح الله على يديه. Allah gave the Muslim the victory with the hand of Khalid. The scholar, they talk about what victory Khalid was given. He ran. What victory is because he saved the Muslims. So the ulama, they use that victory is not only the Muslim defeating their enemy. This is one thing. But the second thing, to save the Muslims from humiliation. This victory too. When you step back from war, you don't fight. Because you think the consequence is very bad. Now this consider in Islam a victory. فتح الله على يدي. Allah gave the Muslims the hand of Khalid. When they came, so Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, then from there on, at the time of Prophet Sallam, at the time of Abu Bakr, time of Umar, Khalid was, until Umar, he removed Khalid bin Walid from commander intentionally, after he found that some people started having wrong belief. What's that wrong belief? That the Muslims get victory because of Khalid. Umar bin Khattab removed him. He said, from today, don't lead anyone. If you used to bring the victory, keep it with you. Yes. And Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he died in Medina with a lot of wounding, a lot of, how many battles, all his life. So he used to say, I am dying here today on my bed like this. And he had a wisdom that يعني he died normal way. المهم. So Khalid radiallahu ta'ala, and the point is, the day of Uhud, the Muslims were defeated because Khalid and his group came behind the mountain. If Khalid knew the unseen now, this is the point. If Umar bin Khattab, if Umar bin Khattab knew the unseen, the day of battle of Uhud, he was there, Umar. He was those who defended the Prophet. He see what happening. Why he didn't ahead of time say to the, oh, the behind the mountain? No. He didn't. So that is, let alone Khalid, let alone Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, he was praying with the shoes, impure shoes, and he didn't know. Until Angel Jibreel, in the middle of the prayer, he told him, this is. So Prophet, he took off. Prophet said, one of you, if he comes to the masjid, إذا أراد أحدكم أن يصلي, no, not to the masjid. If one of you wants to pray, فلينظر إلى نعليه, he should look his shoes. فإن وجد بهما قذرا, if he found his impurity, فليمسحه على الأرض, he should rub it on the earth, on the ground. Not you should wash it. You don't wash the shoes. What do you do? Scrape onto the floor, jazakallah, to the ground. Then it will go away. And then he look. If nothing is there, pray with it. So this is the sunnah of the Messenger. Whoever wants to pray with the shoes, to make sure to look at first that there's no impurity attached to it, and then cleaning, that's the way to clean it. Tayyib. So So Prophet Muhammad and others, yes, this doesn't mean that Prophet was not taught something from the unseen. Yes, he was taught by many things from the unseen by Allah. Up to today, something happening today. Prophet mentioned ahead of time. He mentioned a lot of things ahead of time. Yes, this is from the unseen. But that doesn't give him, alayhi salam, the title of knowing the unseen. Because the unseen is general. When you say he knows the unseen, this is general. It includes everything. What happened, what didn't happen, what's happening, what's in the heart of the people, the endings of the situations. Prophet said in this word, therefore when some people, the magicians and the like, and the wicked group, sheikhs, they say to you, oh, I know what happened to you. Yes, you, I know. Somebody put evil eye on you. Somebody put magic on you. Such happened to you. Based on that, he knows the unseen, is make remove him from Islam. Because he claiming that he knows the unseen. Yeah. Nobody should claim that he knows the unseen. Other than only Allah knows. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And in the book, so that the Ahlul Bidah, the Sufiya, they read what they call the celebration for the birthday of Prophet ﷺ. From that Prophet ﷺ, he knows everything in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. They say, فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَضَرَّتَهَا وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ أي وَعِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ مِنْ وَالْقَلَمِ مِنْ عُلُومِكَ. So everything in the Lawh al-Mahfuz is a part of the Prophet's knowledge. Subhanallah. And they read it that way. Qadiriyya, another sect, Qadiriyya group, every Sufi sect, they have this deviation. If you read their books, wallah, you're surprised. Qadiriyya, they say, Sha'ad Qadir Jailani said, وَأَعْلَمُ نَبَاتَ الْأَرْضِ كَمْ هُوَ نَابِتٌ وَأَعْلَمُ رَمْلَ الْأَرْضِ كَمْ هُوَ رَمْلَةٌ وأعلم موج البحر كم هو موجة وأحصي علم الله وأعلم علم الله أحصي حروفه. They say Sheikh Jailani said he knows the number of the sand, he knows the number of the waves of the ocean, he knows the number of the plant of the tree, and he knows the knowledge of Allah, all of it. That's what they say in the book of فيوضات الربانية على الأوراد القادرية. Most likely, page 47. And this is the way they call it. وَعَلَمُوا نَبَاتَ الْأَرْضِ كَمْ هُوَ نَابِتُونَ وَعَلَمُوا مَوْجَ الْبَحْرِ كَمْ. This is the way they read it. Do you see that? How Shia Abdul Qadir Jailani, everything. The number of waves. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Does the Christian believe about Jesus like that? They believe that? Because they believe he's the same thing. The same teacher taught them. Is shaitan. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayru. The same shaitan who taught the Christians in his lab and made them say Isa alayhi salatu wa salam knows everything, this is the same one whom is led the Qadiriyya and those people, Tijaniya, Naqshbandiya, yani Sahrawandiya, Safiya, Marghaniya, ma aktharahum, la aktharahum Allah. A'udhu billah. They misguide many people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will conclude on this. So the messenger, where were we? Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, jazakallahu khair, he went to Ali. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up to him and his back, Ali's back was covered with dust. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to wipe the dust off his back. And said, sit down, Abu Turab, father of the dust. This is how the kunya came to Ali. On the top of Ali, Ali was covered with dust. Because the masjid was, the point was, the masjid was sand. Was dust. Was not yani covered with carpet. And here you find some Muslims misunderstand. That they use the shoes on the carpets. And they say they apply in the sunnah of the Messenger. If you say you apply in the sunnah of the Messenger by using shoes, apply it the way he applied. If his Salam didn't pray shoes with the carpets, he didn't pray shoes with shoes on a carpet. He just on a trap, on a sand, on a dust. How are you using that as a proof? Therefore, Shaykh ibn Baz and ulama, they say no, it can't be used. If the shoes is new, yes. 100% clean, yes. But shoes, at least with the dust, with the sand, even if the sand is clean, carpet, which observe the dirty, يعني, and keep it, لا. Subhanallah. Some people, they enter bathroom with the shoes, and a first part of the carpet of the masjid, they do it in the same. So you pray, the whole masjid smell bad, very bad, and they say we apply in the sunnah. If you take your shoes off, they say, oh, you are against the sunnah. Someone who takes his shoes off is not against the sunnah. If he believes to pray with the shoes, is the sunnah. To take it off is the sunnah. Both Prophet ﷺ did it. So this should be known. No extreme to refuse pray with the shoes. Prophet ﷺ, he prayed with the shoes. And no extreme to say you pray with the shoes everywhere, and whoever say, يعني, doesn't do that with you, you consider he doesn't like the sunnah. Especially in this country, where there are snow everywhere. People, they don't have a building. They are outside. If you say, take your shoes off, how much they suffering? Alhamdulillah, ala al-Islam. Allah, alhamdulillah. Some areas, is now whole year maybe, sometimes 6 months. Where are you going to pray? Going to pray? Outside the buildings. Some people, they are traveling. Or land is. So sometimes it's convenient to pray with the shoes. For many people, some they have strong shoes, like the arm. It's very hard to even take it off, take time. So to pray with the shoes is very convenient, it's very simple. Sometimes, and sometimes to put on the shoes to pray with it is al-muhim. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began to wipe the dust off from Ali's back and said, sit down, Abu Turab, or the father of Turab, means Abu Turab, father of the dust, sit down. And the Prophet ﷺ, he made Ali come down and he talked to him, alayhi salam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How Prophet ﷺ was, alayhi salatu wasalam, was humble. He was sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though Allah made him the biggest of a human being, yet Prophet ﷺ was very lean and very humble. He went to the Ali who got married with his daughter, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and in the masjid, he go after him, he cleaned his back from the dust, he said, Abu Turab, sit down, Abu Turab, sit down. Subhanallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now the chapter 379, how one should walk with great men. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyil Muhammad. If there is any addition or any benefit, correction, barakallahu fikum. So we conclude, well, kunya is good, have a kunya inshallah, is good, na'am akhi. Okay, this question, can we name and we give our children Abu al-Qasim, the kunya of al-Qasim? We talked about last week. You were not here last week. Okay, that's the problem of missing. Al-Muhim, some of the ulama, there's a lot of difference of the ulama. To summarize some of it, they say, then Abu al-Qasim, the kunya of Abu al-Qasim cannot be half anyway, in any way. Some of them say, no, it can't be half. The person can have the kunya of Abu al-Qasim, but he shouldn't combine with the name of Muhammad. The father being Muhammad and the son being Abu al-Qasim. This is what's not. Some of them, they say, both of it can be done. If it's not after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. And wallahu alam, that is strong. Because why? Those scholars who choose that opinion, they look why Prophet ﷺ refused that. Is that one day he was in the market and a man was calling someone who's his kunya is Abu Qasim. He said, Abu Qasim. Prophet ﷺ turned around. The man said, oh, I don't mean you. I mean that one. Then Prophet ﷺ, he forbid to have his kunya. So those scholars, they said, if it caused confusion. Now, if it doesn't cause confusion, now you call your son Abu Qasim. Who thinks you mean the Prophet ﷺ? Nobody. So they say nothing is wrong with that. To have Abu Qasim, even if your name is Muhammad. As long as that doesn't bring any confusion. So, and some of them, they say, no, don't have it at all. Don't have the kunya. Some of them, they say, don't combine the kunya with the name Muhammad. So, wallahu alam, you can have it. That's what some ulama, they choose after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.